We're back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Daryl Glassford coming right back at you here from Pop Culture Cosmos. The Lakers Fast Break, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do whatever you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break. It is truly appreciated. Plus, if you can also support our friends at Thrive Fantasy, the leader for daily fantasy sports for the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, PGA, and esports player props, please do so by either downloading their great app today on one of the app stores, either Apple or Android, or you can head on over to thrivefantasy.com where you can go ahead and check out all the info right there on how you can go ahead and sign up today. Be part of the action and fun at Thrive Fantasy. And I'll tell you what, also as well, we got a little code there for you. If you type in the letters on your first deposit in the checkout, LFB, that's LFB. When you go ahead and put in your first deposit, they'll match it dollar for dollar up to $50 as long as your first deposit is $20 or more. That is, again, Thrive Fantasy, a great place to go for daily fantasy sports. Sign up and prop up today. All right, I just want to go ahead and thank everybody for listening and watching out there. It's Gerald Glasser coming right back at you here. I do want to tell everybody out there, if you're interested, speaking of fantasy, not only there's Thrive Fantasy out there, but on Sunday, 4 p.m. Pacific, we're doing our own free ESPN Fantasy Basketball League. So if you're interested, we're still looking for teams out there. If you're interested, go ahead and come on over to ESPN Free Basketball League. Go ahead and find out the information today at LakerHolics.com. Just look for the article that says right there how to go ahead and join up. It'll have the link right there for you. Just type in your email and information like that. And we're going to run our live draft on Sunday at 4 p.m. Pacific. As we record the Lakers Fast Break, you will hear the moans and the groans of me saying, yes, I picked a great player, or no, I skipped in whatever round that I'm choosing there, right there at the Lakers Fast Break. So hopefully you get a chance to join us in the ESPN Free Basketball League right there for you for fantasy basketball, right there from all of us at Lakers Fast Break. Well, the Lakers tonight ended their preseason, I guess, on a high note. The scrubs were in there, so you know at the very end they decided to go ahead and put all the scrubs in there. So we were lucky enough to manage to squeak out a 114-113 win, but that's not the point. Really, what's the point is that there were some good performances today by Anthony Davis, and LeBron kind of looked somewhat interested today for a little bit, anyways, But there's some things we need to talk about when it comes to tonight's game. And again, it's a win for the Lakers. And to do that here today, I'm going to go ahead and start with the birthday boy himself. He matches my IQ. It is the man in the shadows at this time of the night for him. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today at LakerHolics.com. It is the magic man indeed. It is Sean Grice. And Sean, happy birthday from all of us here at the Lakers Fast Break and LakerHolics.com. We truly wish you have a great one for you out there. But first off, your thoughts on the game today. I mean, I don't know how much you can take away from the last preseason game, but we're gonna go ahead and try and do that anyways.
Well, first of all, Gerald, thank you for the birthday wishes. let's hope 2021 is a lot better than 2020.
Let's hope so. Amen.
As for the game tonight, I mean, Anthony Marshawn Davis, what can you say? I mean, I wasn't expecting.
You know he's happy when he goes ahead and puts in his middle name. You know he's happy.
Yeah, very, very much so.
Go ahead. You're all set?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, Phoenix got out, jumped out to that, like, torrid pace, and I didn't think there was any way we were coming back. I actually had plans to turn it off at halftime, and the first 5 minutes when we're like down 20, Anthony Davis decides, yeah, we'll just run it up and get it down to like 5. Right.
Of course, that's all the way it gets on. Yes, but go ahead.
So I mean, No, I'm expecting a lot of that this year, actually. It wouldn't surprise me on back-to-backs if teams just try and do this, just try and run us out of the gym. And I think, you know, with a guy like AD and now bringing on a guy like Schroeder on board, I don't think any lead is safe with us offensively from an offensive perspective. And I think we can play a brand of defense that gets enough stops to get us back in games if we get down like this. So, and my goodness, that lineup of Alex Caruso, THC, Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, and AD, that was a beautiful lineup. I wasn't expecting that, but from an experimental point of view, great job, because I want to see more of that lineup.
Yeah, definitely want to see more of that lineup. Kind of still concerned about some height issues because Phoenix did try to play big tonight with both Jalen Smith and DeAndre Ayton in the lineup. Kind of hampered the Lakers from time to time and it kind of forced Harrell to do some things maybe that's not best suited for his game. But other than that, like I said, there's not a whole lot you can go ahead and complain on because Davis looked great. He looks like he's ready for the season. MVP possibly, you never know. At least defensive player of the year looks like he'll be the favorite going into there because I know the writers probably are sick and tired of going ahead and voting for Antetokounmpo each and every year, and then he doesn't guard the main player in the playoffs, but we won't talk about that. But I want to go ahead and reach out to Five Great Things right now because he's the man right there for you when it comes to five great things that you see each and every time out when it comes to Lakerholics.com. It is Jamie Sweet. Welcome back, my friend. I know it's been a little while since you hung around with us, and I'll tell you what, it was something that was good game. Like I said, some good signs. Got off to a terrible start, but yeah, it seems like with this team, the Lakers, like Sean said, the Lakers are never really out of it.
No, I mean, any team that hangs its head on defense the way the Lakers do it is going to have a shot if, as long as they're within – if there's 10 minutes and 20 points to score, I still like our chances against – especially like a team like Phoenix. You know, there's a lot of hype around Phoenix, but they haven't shown anybody anything yet. They haven't proved anything yet. Preseason is preseason. You know, everybody's – this is going to be an especially weird preseason because it's so short and so close on the heels at the back. So a lot of the issues – one of the things I found interesting about the preseason in general this year is – or I should say this season, as we've had over a year of basketball just completed. One of the things I found interesting is how some guys are really just do better with less rest, with less time between the end of the season and the start of the next season. Some guys look like their shot just, you know, KCP is somebody who I have always felt like is a notoriously slow starter. And I don't know if it's the contract and he's feeling comfortable, if it's the short rest, if it's the fact that he's now an NBA champion, a little bit of all of the above. He looks like he's in mid-season form, which is great. Is a great thing for the Lakers. One thing about this game, I do hope that Mikal Bridges is all right. That was a bad spell he took.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a dirty play, however, how it's already being labeled a dirty play. It looked like he jumped across LeBron's leg and fell over. Doesn't look like LeBron drifted into his path or any kind of that sort of thing. So, I mean, it just looked like one of those basketball plays that happens in basketball, and sometimes a guy gets hurt and you go, well, that's not cool. But so regardless of what the perception of the play is, I do wish him well and hope he's not seriously hurt. Because that's really the goal of any preseason game is everybody gets out of it and can play the next game in a, you know, in a relatively healthy manner for a professional athlete. And that's the big grade I get out of this Laker preseason is the A-plus for nobody getting hurt.
Absolutely. And the cheap shot, I thought a little bit cheaper shot was the one that Harrell took on Booker later in the game. I thought that might have been kind of not the greatest thing right there for you. You don't want to start the season off with suspension. And obviously it didn't get to that point, but
no,
that was kind of a little bit more shakier than the one against Bridges.
We got some guys with some, you know, we got some chip in the team, man. We got some chip in the team, some chip and some chirp between Trey and Schroeder and the guys who we already had here that are gritty.
Yes. Oh, Sean's there. He's got a lot of grit right there too. Yeah, he's got a lot of little chip right there for you as well.
Okay, well, hey man, we all got a little
chip. You know, he turns a new year And look at that. He's got a little bit more of attitude right there.
That's right. That's right. I love it.
Feisty, feisty, Sean. Calm down. Calm down.
Never.
But I'll tell you what, it's going to be something that is going to be very interesting because we will actually have an extended Lakers roundtable. One of our more, I guess, one of our last ones, per se, of the preseason. Actually, will be our last of the preseason, of the entire break, because the season will be upon us. And that'll come Sunday live at 4 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday. So please join us for that. But right now, I want to go ahead and bring on the man, the mastermind of Lakerholics.com. Who knows where the site's going to next? Because I don't even know. It is my good friend, indeed. It is Mr. Laker Tom, the mastermind, indeed. And Laker Tom, I mean, like I said, a win's a win, and we'll take it. And obviously, you can't take a whole lot from it. I know we're going to go touch on Kyle Kuzma here in a sec. So stay away from Kyle Kuzma, because we're going to go ahead and really go in depth on Kyle Kuzma here in a sec. But I want to hear your thoughts on how the Lakers performed today. I think you got to be pleased that AD is rounding out into form.
Well, it was it's a pretty remarkable game. I think this is a 6 out of 7 from 3 for AD. The team shot 53%, 15 out of 30 or 15 out of 29 shots. You know, it's kind of it was like a repeat of the other game that we played them on Wednesday. You know, we start off the game, and I swear I thought JaVale was still playing center. We were down by 20 points, just like we were in the first game.
You realize, though, with JaVale, we did win quite a few games.
Well, I don't know. Mark better start performing, or else I'm going to be looking at those stats for the starting lineup.
Or you're going to be hearing it from me about how they should have gotten Ibaka, I don't think
I don't think that much of Ibaka, but I think that Gasol will be a better match, but we definitely are still seeing some of our key players not in shape, if you will. I mean, Bron must have turned – I don't know how many turnovers he had. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to look at the – I got behind in the game, and I was fast-forwarding through every commercial trying to catch up because I knew Gerald was going to be on my butt to get started.
Eight,
right,
Tom.
After the game ended.
Eight turnovers, Tom.
Eight turnovers? Jeez, no. It looked like it.
That's a preseason game for you.
And the missed bunnies by various people in the team were just incredible. But I tell you, when this team gets its mind down to go out there and play the kind of defense that we can play, there was a string there in that third quarter that we just totally shut down. Their players, the Suns just did not know how to attack. And it was a terrific display of defense.
Because got to remember, it's also an issue with experience. Chris Paul goes out of the game. They don't have the kind of experience to back up it.
And one of the problems I think the Suns have is they don't have the depth the Lakers have. You put the
Lakers
true
too. But it's also
experience against the Suns' second team, and they can shut them down very easily.
No, I agree with you there, but it's also a matter of experience. There's a lot of youth on that team.
I agree with what Gerald's saying. I think ultimately that's what Phoenix is going to have to live with, because
there's
going to
be a lot of ups and downs this year for them.
Yeah, so they're gonna have difficult time scoring when Paul's out of the game, because Book is a good facilitator, but they really don't have a secondary facilitator.
They've got some good 3-point shooters, though. They were raining threes early in the game.
And Booker
I must have screamed over and over, on the verge of 12 points, and they would hit a three. And it was just like we couldn't get over the hump on that.
No. And Booker's on the verge of being a top 15, even close to being a top 10 player. Maybe not this year, but next year you probably could consider him one of the best players in basketball. I really think he's going to get there.
That's a little hyperbole for a glass-half-empty guy.
He's borderline right now. He's so
he's
good.
Borderline. He's borderline.
He's good. He's really good.
He's an all-star. He's not a superstar.
He's
a superstar. You think he's top 10?
I didn't say he was on his way there.
That's the truth.
You got to be top 10 to be a superstar.
Don't take my quote out. Don't
really
take
top
my
five.
He's not top five. He's like
he's top five.
He's a top five. He's a top five guard.
Yeah, I didn't say. I said he's on his way. I think he's a top 20 player now. I think by the end of the year, he could be on the fringe.
Top 20 and not a superstar, though.
By the end of the year, if he plays well to his capabilities, and he's, you know, obviously he's growing into that role as a playmaker, as a distributor.
And I'd trade DHT for him.
Oh my God.
And you almost said that.
I might even throw in Caruso.
Oh, by all means.
You actually now these days want to throw Caruso.
What you need to do is trade for McGee so that you can put McGee in a THT Caruso McGee trade for Booker, because I don't see how that doesn't get it done. No, I just don't see
anyways.
I don't see a GM.
We'd have to include a draft choice for them to take McGee.
I'm just saying that Booker is on his way to being a player that in a couple of years people were really going to recognize and really
not at his peak. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I didn't say he's there yet. But anyways, go ahead, Sean. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, Gerald. I was going to say, I think a good analogy for Booker's trajectory is what Bam's was last year.
Agreed.
I think Book has a chance to fall into Bam's category in the guard position.
Top 15.
Yeah. This year.
Yeah, I mean, that's very realistic for him. That's very realistic for his growth. I don't see him at that, you know, where you're talking about, you know, like that next group of players that are on the verge and obviously going to be talked about as a fringe MVP, if not MVP candidates. Like Tatum is being talked about as MVP. Also, as well, you're talking about, you know, going on Luka in Dallas. He's the favorite right now for the MVP. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell could, you know, if Utah has a great season, he's going to be looked at. Damian Lillard, those players are the MVP players. He's not there yet, but right. You see that you could see that type of trajectory happening at some point in time for him. That's all I was trying to say.
I don't look at his I don't look at his top 15 players in the league because that kind of there's too much of a dichotomy of like what the players bring. I look at it top five players in position, and I think Devin Booker is certainly a top five shooting guard in the league, and is going to. You name four, five, or seven better shooting guards than Devin Booker. Like it's the list isn't that long.
You can name four of them easy, four or five of them very easily.
I mean, I think he's better than DeRozan.
The better way to judge him is Harden, Paul George.
Who would you name after that?
Technically, Harden plays point guard.
Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Booker.
Book's top five.
It's a one way player.
He's a distributor.
Well, again, these are the areas of his game that he's going to improve upon.
Exactly.
So, also, he makes offensive fouls left and right. He's not really a proven product at this point in time.
I didn't say he.
The better way to judge him is to look at his age and judge him against the peers of his age, because when you go get him up against the guys that are 28, 29, 30 years old. Who are really proven players in the league. He doesn't stand up at this point in time because he is just a one-way player. He's still immature. He still makes silly mistakes. He's got great potential. He's a great shooter. He's a great offensive player, but he hasn't really taken his team anywhere. You got to compare those things. I just said he's on his way. Too much hype for him,
and
not enough fact to back up the hype at this point in time.
I'm just saying I see the potential with him. That's all I said.
I remember Kobe Bean Bryant writing "Be Legendary" on his sneakers, and then I don't know about 8 months later, didn't he put 70 on the Celtics? So, I mean,
it's a good trajectory, man. He can back it up, and it's a good trajectory to be on. And I think the same reasons that we're talking about the challenges that the Phoenix Suns face are challenges that he'll have to be instrumental in overcoming. And if he does something this season like knock Phoenix out of the playoffs, or some other team that's been a perennial playoff contender with other guys who are considered better than him, it's going to change the narrative right there, and there won't be any going back.
He has to do that to change it. Do you think Phoenix is a playoff team? That's a good question right now.
Absolutely, 100%.
They'll definitely.
If they are, it's number eight.
Well, no, I said it on my NBA season preview with Rafael Barlow, where I thought they were at.
What was your answer, Gerald?
I think they're right on that fringe. I agree with Laker, yeah. Tom. I think they're right on the fringe just because the West is so loaded. Well, and a lot of things have to go right for them. Yeah.
So that depends on Ayton.
I think they're still really a kid.
Go ahead, Sean.
Questionable game.
Yeah, no, I think their high end is to succeed, and that's where I put them. I think their low end is that eighth play-in. I think they'll make the play-in tournament. We'll see if they 100%. Advance.
I think they'll do that. That's 10th.
But DeAndre. So DeAndre Ayton averaged 18 and 10 with no point guard. So with CP3, he should take a step forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the big thing with Phoenix really isn't now how Ayton plays or really how Booker plays. I think it's really CP3. If he can repeat last year and play that well, then they'll make the playoffs
and lead.
Otherwise, they're probably in the play-in tournament
and lead. If CP3 can lead the team the way and take the reins a little bit, like
and
he did
stay healthy, especially when they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think for that team, just get into the playoffs would be a huge thing. Just because, right. I mean, it's Phoenix, right? Like, you know, there's not like legacy there. There's not like, you know, the legacy is, hey, Mike D'Antoni coached here for a while, and Steve Nash was good.
Right. Yeah, but I think they
Kevin Johnson was mayor
because of the bubble, and the problem is, the bubble is really a unique situation, and the way they played in the bubble. They're one of those teams that I don't think is as good as they played in the bubble.
I disagree.
Just like I don't think the Heat were as good as they played in the bubble.
And I disagree with that. But
look at where people are projecting the Heat this year. Most people are not projecting them in the top four in the East.
They weren't top four last year.
As a matter of fact, nobody was. And that's where they were last year. They weren't top four in the East. They were fifth.
I feel like that's as much an organizational choice as anything. Like there are franchises that understand the difference between kicking a lot of butt in the regular season, like how Milwaukee's been doing consistently, and then having a plan to succeed after that. And that's the first time
I've seen the Heat in the playoffs in a long time do anything.
They've been besieged by injuries.
Okay. Besieged by injuries, besieged by bad play, besieged by bad decisions. You know, I mean, they're one of the teams that they exceeded what you would expect from them in a regular season, playing in an arena with fans. And frankly, now that may give teams like them an advantage. I mean, maybe the Heat will perform well in this season because we are looking at something similar to the bubble.
There's empty arenas
without the pressure of the fans on you, you know.
Go ahead, Sean, because we're going to go ahead and let you finish your final thoughts, and then we'll go ahead and talk about the Lakers as we finish the episode. So, because we just went off on the tangent.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to point something out. The NBA released their GM survey. Eric Spoelstra was voted the best in-game adjustment coach, the best motivator, and the best developmental coach as well. So there's no disputing the fact that the Miami Heat do have the best coaching staff in the NBA. I do think they have the best conditioning.
Nick Nurse has been working some magic in Toronto. That's all I say. And he's got the championship as well.
Frank Vogel should have got it last year.
No, he does, but I would put Spoelstra's three finals appearances up against Nurse's singular one.
Yeah, that's true. I give you that. And then I know Frank Vogel, this is his first. So, okay, for now. Let's see when hopefully they'll repeat this year after maybe these GM's opinions will change a little bit. But
who is the GM's opinion is going to win the championship, Sean?
If I remember correctly.
Six of the 10 people chose the Lakers.
Yeah. And then Giannis.
Milwaukee got two votes, and everybody else was a single vote.
And then Giannis to repeat as MVP. Yes, I saw that.
The Clippers got one vote. It was probably Jerry West.
Phone call Jerry.
Yes.
Jerry's in trouble, man. Jerry's in trouble.
Yeah, slightly as at this point in time, according to what we're hearing and seeing in the NBA, because of the allegations in regards to Kawhi Leonard and how they were able to secure the rights.
Put a bag over the head of his statue in Los Angeles last night.
Well, no. They did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That's out of place. After all that Jerry West has done for the Lakers.
I emulated my game against Jerry West, and I felt like
we always talk about and always kid around about, you know, a god, whatnot, but Jerry West is a basketball god. He may or may not have done a mistake in this situation with Kawhi and all that. But
well, he did. He made a mistake in the voicemail that he left, that's for sure.
Well, that's – yeah, and I get that.
That was Jerry West.
And the
anybody
league,
who's ever heard him knew it was him.
And the league will take care of that. But again, fans shouldn't go, like that against, you know, all that he's done for the organization, and the fact the guy is the logo, you know, all he's done for the league. You don't put a bag on the head. That's just disrespectful to some.
I didn't say I put a bag on the head. I just said somebody.
I'm talking to that individual out there. I'm not talking to you. I know you didn't fly down from the San Francisco area to go ahead and.
Why are you here
in Los Angeles, sir? I'm going to go ahead and put a bag over Jerry West's statue. No, I know you didn't do that.
I'm going to dump Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee.
I'm going to make PhD the starter.
We dumped them.
We're not going back.
Well, let's get back to the team that Jerry West used to play for and used to be famous for, and that is the Los Angeles Lakers. Again, it is 114. Well, 114. Well, he's gone. You know what? The Lakers should have never let him know. But that's
just like a guy who's had two divorces since he used to be our wife.
Yeah. Again, he should have never left. We should have never let him leave the organization. But
well, it was him or Phil. You have to take it and make a choice at that point in time.
I think Jerry wanted to leave. I don't think it was.
You know, money could have changed the whole type of deal. You know, enough money. You throw enough money, you get happy. But anyways, 114-113 victory today. It was like
undefeated,
I said,
Lakers.
Undefeated going in there. Is that an ominous sign? We'll see what happens. But I want to go ahead and touch on the Kyle Kuzma issue. I mean, it's kind of like there didn't perform well tonight, but overall he did have a pretty good preseason. Actually, he's one of the standout performers. Yes, I know. THT. Hey, Chris continued another great game today.
He did.
Very solid coming off the bench.
Great passes.
Yeah. And the thing, two though,
for
that
two from three.
Yes. We
he's
know.
Shooting
yes.
60% from three now, Gerald.
Well, okay. Let's see that in the regular season. You know how you've seen exhibition.
And then in the regular season, he'll say, let's see it in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's correct.
See it in the finals.
Remember Rondo? Remember Rondo?
You're
the glass half way too full. It's spilling off. Sometimes it spills off. And there you go.
I have to fill it up.
Jamie's actually making it half full. It's making this it is, half this full is, as
this
we
is, This is the glass of reality.
Yes, the glass of reality. But with THT, again, little bits of defensive issues. But, you know, like I said, on offense, he's very smooth, a lot better. And if he can keep that stroke going, again, 33-35% from three, that's all I'm asking. I'm not asking for gaudy numbers.
Better than that.
Wow.
36-37.
In his first full year in the league, I'm not expecting that. But again, you know, I think you're putting too much on the kid right there.
He's shooting 90% from the free throw line.
Okay, this Gerald. Is the exhibition season.
Yeah.
But 90% from the free throw line, and he's had a lot of free throws.
I'm going to take this meteoric rise of THT the way I take all things. Preseason was great. He did exactly what he probably really, really wanted to do. The staff and the people who work with him really, really wanted to see him do this. The fans really, really want to see him succeed. So he did exactly the best he possibly could do in the preseason. Now, do it again.
Continue. Take that momentum. Take those good vibes and produce in the regular season.
He said, this dude's going to start for us next year.
I know you've said that story three times on our podcast already. We get that. We've heard that. It's repeat on repeat mode. We get that he's going to be pretty good. He could be really good. I would start him. If you want to go ahead, let's put him out there. Let's get him some minutes. Put him in the start over Kuzma. Yeah.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Sure. Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now, and I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
Facebook stars, not ninja stars, okay? I know how some people take things literally, so don't throw ninja stars at us, but like the Facebook stars, click on those. That's what we want.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. But that's the one I wanted to talk about, getting back to Kyle Kuzma, because that's what I'm going to actually close out the show with here today. And Kyle Kuzma still doesn't have an answer, or does not look like he's going to be getting an extension before the season starts. And unfortunately, this is the last time that the Lakers will have an opportunity to offer him an extension. So I ask you this, he's been starting for the team, which is something I think surprised a lot of people in this new set that they have out there with, you know, Gasol and KCP, and then, of course, AD and LeBron. Your thoughts on Kyle Kuzma going forward for this season? I'm just, like I said, for me, I don't think the team is going to go ahead and keep him long term. I just think at this point they don't see enough to go ahead and commit to. But, Jamie, I'm going to start with you. Your thoughts on Kyle Kuzma? I have a great affinity for Kyle Kuzma. He's worked so hard on the defensive end to become a competent player on that end after you and I know he was a matador for the first 2 years in the league. But I want to hear your thoughts on him. And I know it might be sad to see him go, but I think it's more and more likely that he will be probably leaving at some point from the Los Angeles Lakers, whether it's at the trade deadline or whether it's in the offseason.
I think that's a fair assessment, and I don't think it's anything to do with how anybody sees it. I mean, you know, he started tonight because Schroeder sat. I don't think he'll start. I think you'll see a starting lineup of Schroeder, KCP, LeBron, AD, and Gasol. I'll be surprised if you don't see that, at least to start the season. If it doesn't work out, then you'll see adjustments and so on and so forth, and that's why I take things in 20-game chunks, or in this case, it's going to be like I think it's 18-game chunks. Well, because it's a quarter of the season, quarter of the season. Yeah, I mean, there's different parts of the season. Just the way the playoffs are different than the finals, and everything's got its own little vibe and its own little momentum, and so on and so forth. I think that Kyle Kuzma is the cautionary tale that Taylor Horton Tucker should read and learn the gospel of, because he wouldn't have even be getting these opportunities now if his defense wasn't where he had gotten it to. If he was just relying on being an off-the-bench volume scorer who isn't very good at being a volume scorer, he wouldn't be getting these opportunities. He wouldn't be getting these minutes. He wouldn't have the role that he has now. It's because he worked on all the other little aspects of his game and brought them up to an acceptable level that he is getting this opportunity now and still is considered a player with, like, ceiling. You know, I don't think anybody at the beginning of last year penciled Kyle Kuzma in as at least average defender. And by the end of the season, I thought he was an average to at times an above average defender. Yeah. They put him on some guys who he was able to kind of, I won't say he locked him up, but he did what you're supposed to do as a defender, and that's make life hard and funnel the guy where you're supposed to funnel the guy, and just do your job. You know, don't be the weakest link on defense. And he managed to do that. So, you know, you can have a step back shot. You can, you know, all those shots were available to Kyle Kuzma, and he made them year one. Those shots dry up. People scout your strengths, and they take them away. And they might not take away THT's strengths for 2-3 months, but they'll take them away. And that's when I want to see Taylor Horton Tucker
show. How do you counter?
How do you counter? What do you do? What do you go to? How do you rise
up? Like a true GHE.
I don't know what you watch TV like this is how professional sports is all about. No.
It's a valid point. It is.
Wait.
How come when he says it, it's a valid point, and when I say it, blah blah blah. I don't know about that.
I think both at the top of this show are the GHEs, and the bottom two shots are the GH.
I don't know. He agrees with me a lot more than you want to care to admit.
Well, sometimes I agree with you. You know, Jamie agrees with me.
That's true.
The point is that possibly there's nothing wrong with being conservative about your estimates of players.
Not if they check out Laker Hall.
Nothing wrong with being optimistic about your players.
I don't even see it as being generous or optimistic or anything like that. It's just that's what professional sports is about. Like. The adjustment to what you bring. And so this look, he's the flash in the pan right now. He's deservedly so. Like I said, he's done everything he was supposed to do. He seized the opportunity to the best possible ability that he could have done. It's what everybody would have wanted to see, but now it means nothing. It literally means nothing. Like, you did it. Good job. Now you have to do it again.
It means a hell of a lot because he's now part of the rotation.
I agree with Tom there because he's earned his way to at least getting minutes at the start of the season. Now it's up to him to keep earning those minutes and earn more minutes. Otherwise, if he goes and regresses, he's right back to the bench. So I want to get Sean involved in this. Sean, I want to ask you this when it comes to Kyle Kuzma. And thank you, Jamie, for your thoughts on Kyle Kuzma. Go ahead and make sure you finish off that glass half empty. But I wanted to go ahead and talk to you right now. And he's doing that right now on camera. Sean, I want to ask you this. When it comes to Kyle Kuzma, would you, if you had the power, you're Rob Pelinka's office, and he's sitting down and says, guys, gals, everyone around here, we need to make a final decision on whether or not to commit to Kyle Kuzma. Do you make it or do you not? Happy birthday, my friend.
That's how I feel.
I think I would offer him a multi-year deal, but I can't offer him more than like $7-8 million.
You're gonna lowball him.
Yeah, he's not worth going above ten. He's not worth going above ten at all. I understand that,
but he sees. You know how he sees himself. You understand how he sees himself.
Yeah, so that's
not going to get far.
Yeah, no. So I think the two options at hand are you qualify him for that fifth year in the summer and play it out, or you trade him. Those are the only two options left because I don't think anyone.
I think he needs to be considered as a package in a deal at the trade deadline because I think there's some certain issues in preseason that are kind of like nitpicking at me. And I've spoken about this off camera with Tom as far as some little concerns. And I don't mean that as from the glass half empty. He has shared those same concerns with me when it concerns a little bit as far as what we see from Marc Gasol, what we see as far as height and size when Marc Gasol's not on there. He's in the off the court. Just to the athletic ability. And I'm not bashing Marc Gasol in the slightest. Marc Gasol has had a great career, but we could only expect right now so much from Marc Gasol. And the fact we didn't get Dwayne Dedmon maybe to pick up some of that slack or something similar to what Dwayne Dedmon can offer is kind of concerning. So Laker Tom, I turn to you now. I think Sean has put that out there as far as him being a possibility of, you know what, we're not going to keep him long-term. But he could become, if he plays well enough, become a core piece again as far as in trade talks. So I want to hear your thoughts on Kyle Kuzma and his future going forward for the Los Angeles Lakers. See, it makes him think too.
It would make me think of what I'm going to say, that's all.
Well, I mean, we all have
a here's what I think about the Kuzma situation. First off, I don't think most viewers really understand how difficult it is to play 11 guys. Even in a COVID situation where you could sit a couple guys every single game and we're load managing, it's very difficult. So that's the first big strike against him. The second big strike is that his best positions are the 3 and 4. We got a guy named LeBron James and Anthony Davis playing the 3 and the 4. but I have a different approach toward what I would do with Kuzma, because I think what you want to do is you want to get value for him, and you can't get value for him when he's on a $3.5 million contract. And this is like Giannis, you know, I mean, doesn't matter whether Giannis asks for a trade in a year, the Bucks are better off to have him under contract and to be able to then turn him into an asset that they can move than to not do that. And so in the case of Kuzma, I'd offer him, and he may turn this down. I'd offer him 3 years at $12 million each, $36 million, because I think that he's going to be valued that on any other team that's out there. And you're going to be able to easily package him in a trade. But otherwise, you got to throw him in as a, you know, almost as a sweetener in a trade, because he's not worth enough to trade for anybody else that's out there for $3.5 million, because anybody else is making $3.5 million and the team is willing to trade him is somebody who just doesn't fit with that team or hasn't performed.
If you gave him that deal, though, it wouldn't kick in until next summer.
Otherwise, you have to trade him at the trade deadline. Otherwise, you gamble on being able to get a sign and trade, and you may not. And he's in that middle area where teams may not want to sign and trade for him.
Go ahead, Sean.
They may want to just sign him because there'll be going to be 20 teams with cap space next year.
Go ahead, Sean. I know you want to talk to Tom. Because, well, I'll just say this: it's so funny when Tom said that, I remained totally still. But Jamie's like squirming in his chair and his sofa right now, and Magic Man's just shaking his head. No. So go ahead, Sean. I just wanted to make sure that was on camera. Just wanted to make sure I'm not the one that's doing it this time. These guys are. So.
No, I understand what Tom's saying in theory, but I mean, my God, it would take Rob Pelinka bringing in like Chinese or Russian spies and forcing another GM to take Kuzma's contract at $12 million a year to make that work.
Could Jerry West be on the call for that one?
He could.
Look at the guys making $12 million a year. KCP.
A lot of teams would find the guy who can play the
2, 3, and 4 like Kuzma. All Kuzma has to do is fix his shot. He shoots 36% this year, and he's going to be a $15 million a year player. If he shoots 38%, his stats are exactly the same as Bogdanovich.
Year three is fixing the shot, I'm pretty sure.
So let me ask you guys a question. When I say the average NBA basketball player is, who would you say? Just throw out a name, like an average player.
Wes Matthews.
Okay.
Well, but he's older, so he's getting a low. He's going for a ring, so he took a minimum contract. That's a bad choice.
How about Seth Curry? I was gonna do great minds.
I'd say they're about the same. Yeah,
$10 million player, something like that. I'd say.
Yeah. So who's a better player, Seth Curry or Kyle Kuzma?
Curry. Depends on the team. For a lot of teams, Curry doesn't play defense. He's only a shooter.
I agree with Tom on that one. And it depends on the need of the – I would equate both of them right around the same, because it is – do you want someone taller that can play better defense and rebound, or do you want someone that can go ahead and get a 2-3-point shot?
Okay. But here's what separates Curry from Kuzma. Curry is one of the greatest shooters in the world right now. He's probably a top 10 shooter in the world. So Kyle Kuzma doesn't have that on his resume. He doesn't do one thing particularly well. And in order to get paid...
But it hasn't necessarily been his fault that he doesn't have that fixed role.
Right, but he has to be able to... Like, the guys who get paid now, you have to do one thing exceptionally well. He's a good player. I think he's a good 7th, 8th player off your bench. But he's not a 6th man. He's not that Swiss Army knife off the bench. I don't think you can blow your financial flexibility by spending money on him.
There's an NBA team that will pay him $15 million next year.
And they'll be happy to have him. and they'll be happy to have him. And that's, I think there's a part of this conversation that we're not really touching on. And that's, I think, and Tom kind of touched on it, and that's that there's no spot for him to shine. His best hope is to come off the bench and try to win six man of the year.
He's a starter. He needs to move.
He might be a starter. I mean, it's hard to tell, right?
Like he'll be a starter for sure.
I'll say this: when his shot is on, he's a starter. When his shot is off, he's an end of the rotation guy. It's right. Just
that you say that about almost half of the league.
Not Alex Caruso. To be honest.
Alex Caruso is a key major key victor, and you see him because he can't. You know,
his defense speaks for itself. His defense, it's all on defense. It's all on making the right play. It's all on setting screens for the guy to get.
Yeah,
the
what do you think he'll get? What do you think he's going to get in his contract?
He might be 10 mil.
That's when you have your analytics guys like Laker Tom. Probably analytics right there for you about how much plus minus is right.
I'd say 7 to 10 mil. I mean, it depends. I mean, when he's on the floor with LeBron, he's like a $15 million player. When he's on the floor with a bunch of nobodies, and that's probably
means he has more value with the Lakers than he does with other teams. And I think Kuzma's the opposite situation stifled with the Lakers because
100%
position and other teams. Listen, you sell his agent will sell him. He's got a little charisma. He's had some big games. His agent will sell him, and there's going to be bidders out there that'll give him 15 a year, 12 for sure.
I don't mind
Holland to move a $12 million contract on the guy. That's the contract that lots of teams like. It's middle contract that's easily moved. It's considered to be a tradable contract. It's not like the $20 million contracts or, God forbid, the supermaxes for guys like Wall or. I mean, Giannis is the only guy now who's got a supermax deal, who isn't a trade liability. You know, that can only be traded to other supermax guys.
Right. I will say this. I'll add this one last thought on Kuzma. It's that I think that he, because he knows he's not going to get the chance to. He's like Kobe when he was like, trade Shaq, trade me. He wants to go. I'll bet there's an offer in the numbers that we are.
If you can't give him a role when you talk to the coach,
that's what I mean. It's hard to justify the cost that I'm sure he and his agent value him at.
THT is taking his spot in the future roster.
I mean, maybe this year, maybe as soon as this year.
He'll get traded. If he's going to get traded at the trade deadline.
They both might, actually, to be honest. They both might have to.
They're not going to trade THT. He's a clutch client, man.
We'll see.
And he's got great potential.
It depends on the player. Tom, you got to say it depends on the player.
Yeah, it really depends on the player.
If there's a glaring need that the Lakers suddenly have and that the Lakers still need to find a way to fill it and that's the requirement of it, I don't think Rob
Blake. It'd only be for a superstar. It'd only be for a third superstar.
I understand that. That's what I'm alluding to. Yes.
Yeah, they're not going to trade him for another role player of any kind because he's a star in the future.
I think that's a given, Tom. I think that's a given. The way his play is right now, I think everybody's infatuated with him. We'll see. Again, I think there's going to be good things in store for THT. You've really turned me around. I've got to give you a compliment here. One of the few I'll ever give. Except for at the intro, when I always give you a great compliment there. But I will tell you
last year a couple of times, so it's, you know, I mean, people can change your mind. That's okay.
And I'm changing my mind on THT. I see a lot of good things there. Again, will his shot be consistent? We'll wait and see. I mean, we always saw that with Rondo, where it was great for the first time. So he would come back from an injury, and then it would go south. And it only, you know, it took his concentration in full when it comes to the playoffs before it finally became something.
Even though he jumps on the bandwagon, he still brings the knives with him.
You see the stats.
Gotta cut the meat up, baby. You gotta
in
cut
the playoffs. The guy is unbeatable.
Yeah, playoff Rondo. That's all. That's all he's there. You know, playoff Rondo. That's all they should sign him for all of his money. It's just for the playoffs, just to play the playoffs, because he's worth every penny in the playoffs. But
25 games.
Yes, exactly.
I wouldn't be torn up if we simply lost Kyle Kuzma in free agency. If we rolled with the team as it is, if there was no midseason trade, if they couldn't get a deal done and somebody offered him, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 mil, good job. You know what I mean? Thanks for your exactly, Sean. 100%. Like, thank you for all that you've done. And good
we're
luck.
So deep it won't kill us. You're right on that.
100%. Like, you know, it won't be the end of the world. We won't be like, oh, how will we ever replace this Kyle Kuzma guy? We'll be like, all right,
he'll be a sweetener in the deal, and we'll move one of those $12 to $15 million contracts that we've got. We've got tradable contracts this year.
I mean, a KCP reverts back.
We didn't last year. Last year we couldn't even. Agreed. At the end of the season, even at the end of preseason, we didn't have any assets left together to make a contract because the guys we just signed in those $12 to $15 million deals, all had to wait until December before they could be traded.
Right. No, I agree.
So, you know, the Lakers will make a move for no other reason than, and here I'll give you a compliment, Gerald. I do see the size issues. And I do think that we need another big. I'm praying and hoping that the Indiana Pacers will get off to a horrible start and Miles Turner will somehow become available.
He would be great. He would fill a lot of needs right there for you.
I could trade Kuz and a couple of other players. I could trade Caruso and Kuz and KCP, for example, for Miles Turner.
Just be prepared, Jamie. Tom is now trading Caruso almost every trade now these days.
I had to skip through chunks of the
last, Caruso's worth money to people. If you got a good team and you understand the value of a guy like Caruso, then he's a valuable trading chip. THT has hurt Caruso's value on the team, future value. And he's hurt Kuzma's future value.
I think he's hurt Kuzma's more than.
Oh, Caruso. Definitely, because Caruso has a need. Caruso feels a very strong need that we have
in
the team.
Caruso's a pure guard, either guard one or two, and THT is more of like a forward, point forward type of a player.
THT is a better one and a better two offensively than Caruso will ever be. And he's
talking about just offense. I'm talking about the whole basketball game. There's a whole other side of the court that they play on half the game, and that's the part I also bring up from time to time.
Yeah,
I'm hoping
who leads the team in preseason with steals? Who's got the 7-1 reach? Who did you just say?
Who's also probably leading the team in minutes?
Got his opportunity because
leading the team in minutes. Leading the team in minutes?
Tom, I understand
he won't play in the regular season.
Well, let me say this, Jamie. With THT, it's just a matter of him learning. The rotations, the way I see, comes off of as far as screens on defense. I see him getting beat off the dribble a little bit more than I'd like to see. I understand we talked about as far as his size, his lack of speed against who he's playing, et cetera, et cetera. Again, there's sometimes also issues as far as experience, understanding the league. He's only 20, so let's go ahead and give him time to develop there. He's played
against two teams in the preseason.
Yeah.
Two teams.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, there's a whole league out there.
He's going to be 11. Where do you think he's going to rank in minutes?
Probably 9. Be
7 or 8 in minutes.
I'm thinking 9 or 10.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I don't think this is a Pat Mahomes coming off the bench kind of situation. He's really good. He's a really good player. I think he's going to develop into a very, very good player. But you're right, Gerald. It's going to be baby steps with him defensively. And I think it's up to the Lakers coaching staff, and particularly now the leader on defense, Anthony Davis, to help Talen be put in position to succeed, because I think when it comes to the defense, it's going to be a situational thing with Talen Horton-Tucker, whereas Alex Caruso is definitely going in the final 2 minutes when we need to stop.
Maybe. Not. They did last year, but I don't know about this year. Here's the thing. If you listen to what the Lakers coaches have been saying about Talen Horton-Tucker, the reason, and Jamie almost said the same thing, the reason he's in the lineup right now and the reason he's getting rotation minutes is because of his defense. It's not because of his offense.
I think it's because they want to see what he can bring. I don't think it's either or. It's what can he do? It has nothing to do with – I mean, the kid's got some nice offensive
moves.
He's been doing this
on offense and defense against everybody on that lineup. He's been doing it ever since the bubble, in practice, against every scrimmage, against the starters, against every player on that team. If you listen and go and read all of the various things the players have said, from LeBron James on down to even Anthony Davis, this kid is going to be a star.
I hope so. We used to say the same thing about Kyle Kuzma. We had a whole year, 2 years straight of like Kyle Kuzma, the next big thing in the NBA.
He would have been.
He would have been. Isn't even in the equation. He's not.
You don't know yet. He's still only in his third year.
Go ahead, Sean, and then we're going to close up because I know it's really, really late for you.
It's all right, Gerald. I'm good. I'm good. I don't have work today, so I'm good.
It's not your birthday anymore, is it?
It's still my birthday. It's the 19th.
Yeah, it's his birthday now.
Tomorrow, your birthday.
You have to be nice for
us, Tom. It's already today for him.
It's not tomorrow for too much longer.
I was just gonna say I was sitting on my couch watching Brandon Jennings score 50 points in an NBA game. That actually happened.
Right.
And then 4 years later he was playing in Italy. So I mean this game comes at you quick. Let's give the kid his due. He's playing really well. I don't want to put pressure on him that he doesn't deserve and is not warranted right now.
I remember Kobe Bryant shooting three air balls.
Dwayne Dedman, who we talk about so glowingly.
3 years later, he was a superstar.
Dwayne Dedman, who we talked about so glowingly as far as wanting to put him on the team as far as a backup center, was a real hot property not too long ago, 2 seasons ago. He was a starting center. He was doing really well, shooting well from the outside. Goes ahead and gets traded to Sacramento, and it all falls apart to the point where he's not even in the league right now. He's trying to find his place back. So it can happen. It can turn around on you in a heartbeat. But he is 20. I know there's a lot of development there, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. But let's go ahead and finish this on out for tonight. And I know we've got another major discussion, aka argument, coming up, I'm sure, on Sunday. That's ahead of us for sure. And I'll let you guys do a lot of that while I go ahead and have, draft my winning team for the fantasy basketball team that hopefully everybody will join up on the ESPN League. And for you, if you want information on that for Sunday, 4 p.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time, go ahead and sign up at LakerHolics.com. You'll see the actual article right there on how to connect to the ESPN Fantasy Basketball League for Lakers Fast Break. We hope you want to be part of it. It's absolutely free. Won't cost you a cent there. But let's go ahead and close this on out. Laker Tom, I know you got some more articles in the chamber, as my good friend Raphael would say. Tell us everybody out there, or tell everybody out there, what you're working on at LakerHolics.com.
Well, I just posted an article today about how Rob Pelinka has weaponized the Lakers offense and by the four players that he added, meaning Marc Gasol, Trez Harrell, Dennis Schroeder and Wesley Matthews. Between them, and if you take and compare them with the four guys he replaced, each one of those four guys he replaced, the Lakers added 29 points and three assists per game. If you added that to the Lakers' last year performances, instead of being the 11th ranked offense, they would have been number one in points and number one in assists. So I'm looking forward to seeing the Lakers really make up their offense to be as strong as their championship defense. And I think that's going to be one of the hallmarks of the team. And it's one of the main reasons that I disagree that the various people saying that the Lakers are going to struggle during the regular season. I think we're going to be dominating during the regular season. There are going to be a lot of blowouts. And I think the Lakers are going to finish first in the West.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the world champion, Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. I still think they're going to finish first in the West, but it all depends on how much LeBron and AD are going to be playing during the course of the season. Hope they stay healthy. But again, there's going to be some type of load management. I think even LeBron is going to start relenting just a little. I'm not saying he's going to sit out 15, 20 games. Just saying there's going to be some type of load management when it comes to LeBron this season, realizing there's going to be a lot of back-to-backs in situations where maybe it's not in his best interest.
We only have five back-to-backs all year.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of traveling involved as far as just a weird, quirky
schedule. Less travel because we'll be playing two games everywhere we go.
Yeah.
January is when we're going to get killed because we got 14-game travel.
That's what I mean.
14 away games in January.
Early on, I think you're going to see a little bit of a thing where maybe LeBron may sit out just an extra game or two here. But back the season, you know he wants to get prime. You know he wants to go ahead.
We differ on that. We differ on that because I think we're so deep that we can afford to rest LeBron and AD and still win a lot of games.
I don't know if you can rest them too much because of Western
Conference. I don't know how much you can rest AD.
Is loaded this year. I don't know if you can rest him as much as you think they can.
Well, he's only 26. He's not 35, so.
Yeah, I think there's going to be more load management for LeBron. You'll see a little bit for AD. You'll see, honestly, you would have seen more if we had kept, you'll see a lot for Gasol. Because I don't care what Gasol does in the regular season. I think that he's going to be instrumental in the playoffs. I think
agree with that, Jamie.
You need to keep him to battle Jokic and potentially Aldridge, guys like that, big guys who can move people around in the post.
I'm sure they're going to have that conversation with Mark on what went wrong with Toronto and what they did wrong there and understand with him and his body, what can they do to make it right this time around and make him a little bit fresher going into there and get his mind centered a little bit better than what it was in the bubble last year. Because the bubble last season, it was absolutely horrible for him. So I'm sure the Lakers have taken note on exactly what steps they need to take to make sure Marc Gasol has a better platform for success in the playoffs going forward. So, Sean, I know you're working always on great things for Lakerholics.com. What you got for us, man, at Lakerholics.com?
Hey, Gerald, I just dropped my 2021 season preview, the nutshell version. My six RP teams in the East are the Bucks, the Nets, the Heat, the Sixers, the Celtics, and the Raptors. And in the West,
Heat's number three.
The six RP teams in the West are the Lakers, the Mavs, the Clippers, the Blazers, the Nuggets, and the Suns.
Well, there you go. There's right there for you. If you want to check out my picks,
taking the bubble teams real strong there, Sean.
There you go. He's taking.
Well, I think Luka wins the MVP, and I think he ends up playing the Clippers in the playoffs and kicking their ass.
Yes.
I'd have to root for that for sure. Anything for bad luck for the Clippers is good.
I love Luka. I want Luka to be a Laker so bad.
A bold prediction right there for you from Sean.
Yeah, I do agree with that too, Jamie.
If you want to hear my picks,
them ourselves.
If you want to hear my picks, they're going to be available on our episode 200, which we just dropped earlier this week for Lakers Fast Break. Myself and Rafael Barlow go over extensively the Eastern and Western Conference. Thank you, Jamie. 200 episodes in. Look for Lakers Fast Break episode 200. You can hear my extensive thoughts on that and also Raphael's as well. We go ahead and I'll go break it down all the way to the finals. You'll hear our thoughts on the East, West, and all that. So you want to go ahead and check that out today. But Jamie, before we head on out, I know there's always five great things heading on over to Lakerholics.com. So let us know what's happening with the five great things for Lakerholics.com.
Cinco Magnifico. I might actually email that to Laker Tom until we port the site over to our new location so that he can drop it when it's all settled. So that I don't have to try to recreate my thoughts 5 days later because I'm pretty stream of consciousness with my writing.
Just go ahead and post it, Jamie, and then I'll let you know when the move happens and you can repost it.
Muy fantastico. I think, for the five great things, number one is nobody got hurt in preseason. Number two is THT did the best he possibly could have done with the opportunity provided. And, up until tonight, I would say that Kyle Kuzma had a good showing as well. But that's, I guess, the eternal quandary with Kuz is like, show me a good game or two or even three and then two steps forward.
Booker took him apart defensively, and I think that hurt his offense.
get used to Booker taking people apart.
But Booker can do that to you.
Yeah, he's one of those top five guards in the league. Haven't you heard? Top five guards.
Top 15.
Let's not go down that road again. But go ahead, finish up what you're saying on the five great things.
I don't know. We can talk another hour about Book, can't we? I love Devin Booker too. I would.
Sean's gonna be 40.
Put him on the Lakers, and I might call him top five.
Sean's going to be 40. See, that's the criteria. That's the criteria. Oh, wait, he's the Laker.
Hey,
oh,
could be. What can I say?
Like, he's the MVP. He's the best player that's ever been, you know, born of Earth or space. Anyway.
Well, he was a superstar for me before he was for the league. I'm not ashamed of saying it.
Me too. And I wanted Shaq to stay longer.
Yeah, same here.
Point being, again, nobody got hurt. So, like, it's a win. Preseason win. That's the big thing. Guys who we wanted to see do better or develop better, for the most part, did. You know, I would say the biggest disappointment for me of the preseason was Schroeder. I feel like he really struggled to assimilate into what we do on both ends. And that's a little disconcerting.
His handle looked like LeBron's tonight.
Everything looked shaky. Nothing looked like the guy who I saw ripping teams apart in OKC. And so that's a little disconcerting to me. You know, that would be my biggest, like, oh man, that didn't work out the way I kind of wanted it to be. But again, not so concerned. It's preseason. It's going to be an interesting season regardless, with nobody in the stands, but travel. You know,
back to back, you're going to see a lot of these two game things, which is kind of interesting because
you get
to strategize a little more for each series rather than going in for winners.
I agree. I think it's going to make coaching, it's going to put a little bit of onus on coaching that isn't always there.
It'll be good to see the adjustments in the second game.
Agreed.
To determine who wins that series, you know.
It'll be interesting to see if Vogel even goes so far as to experiment with lineups like he did in the finals and the playoffs, where he like takes a guy out or all the way or, you know, completely reduces his role
could be part of that whole load management, you know, deep roster thing. Could be different starting lineups and a matchup lineups. I love the idea of switching matchup lineups.
100%. Well, it's like putting in a left-hander against the right-handed pitcher. You know, it's what you do. Exactly. You make adjustments, and that's why I think, you know, it'll be a very interesting year. And again, it'll be interesting to see like what sticks in the NBA after this. I was glad to see the coaches challenge. We can talk more about some of the stuff on Sunday. I guess it's an hour and we should wrap it up.
Absolutely. And Sean Grice just had his 39th birthday. I just wanted to let you know he's closing in on 40.
Oh man, we gotta start playing some Huey Lewis to start some stuff.
That little gray hair I see there, Sean.
There you go. Yeah, right there for you.
Right there, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
aging sucks, man. Aging sucks. That's all I've learned.
You get sexier.
Yeah, right.
Hey,
okay.
You get
balder. That's what you get.
Before we head out, I wanted to get a consensus from you guys. Over under games played before James Harden is traded to the Sixers.
20.
20. I was.
20. Under 20. No more than 20.
When the season starts, can they trade right away?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's a moratorium.
They can for him.
But that depends who they're trading him for because
that's correct.
Because they have to, who knows with this.
Because he has an existing contract, he can be traded at any point.
It might not be till the trade deadline simply because of the assets that they want to get back for him.
I think it'll be interesting to see. I would be surprised. He's another one where I kind of am like, he might just finish out the year as a Rocket. Like,
he's the only one I haven't seen in a Laker uniform. We haven't photoshopped him yet, which tells you a lot about what the Laker fans think about James Harden.
I think it's going to be the trade deadline.
When Laker fans don't photoshop you.
Oh, man. That gets a slow clap, LT. That's a good one. That was a good one. Slow clap.
I think it's a trade deadline as well. But I also think that Philadelphia, it might probably bow out because the Houston Rockets want more than just Ben Simmons. They want Ben Simmons and a whole bunch else.
That's
posturing. But in the end, it's going to be either a straight up deal like that with just some little filler.
Daryl Morey would trade his firstborn son to get James Harden into Philadelphia.
I don't know. He just left James Harden in the dust.
Yeah, trading an asset away like Ben Simmons, so young, so many years younger, that might be something that you may not want to do without unless you can't shoot.
Does everything else. Literally does everything else. Yeah, but Kuzma doesn't do anything nearly as well as Ben Simmons does.
Yeah, let's not get started on that one.
One thing.
I mean,
well, yeah, he actually shoots better than Ben does.
And what has that gotten him?
Well, we'll see.
Nothing.
Probably more money than any of us are going to make. That's
well, sure. that's true of all the NBA players, even JaVale McGee.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, it's been a great game. Once again, if you remember way back when I said it already, it's 114-113 victory for the Lakers in exhibition action, the final game of the exhibition season against the Phoenix Suns. Again, we want to go ahead and thank everybody for listening and watching. This is the Lakers Fast Break. Plus, also, please support Lakerholics.com and head on over, not just for the great articles, but even more importantly, the conversations in the comments. They're so much better than the fantastic articles. The articles are great. The comments that these guys go ahead and put there, they're even better. Yeah, I read the comments. You know, it's just like, you know, everybody says about all those magazines back in the day. I just read it for the articles. I just go to LakerHolics.com for the banter back and forth between Sean, Jamie, Laker Tom. There's also so many other great people there. Who needs the articles?
That's like a Nintendo Piranha low blow with like the bone to the ear.
All that time we spend on those articles.
The in-depth articles, the in-depth, all the words that you guys put in there, all the wordy. I'm in there for the insults, the back and forth repartee that you guys have each and every time. That's what I'm
here for. I put wordy words into my insults as well.
We all know that.
I mean, why are you here for the podcast? You're not here to hear my magical voice. You're here to hear us argue. You're here to listen to us argue.
We call it debating, Gerald.
Okay, I call it arguing in a very nice fashion.
Husbands and wives argue, we debate.
Yes,
spirited debate. Spirited.
Did you finish that glass? Did you finish that glass, Jamie? It's
last half empty. What did I tell you, man? What did I tell you?
You know what, life? The great thing about life is that when the glass empties itself,
I'm just kidding. Lakerholics.com
fills itself again.
I'm just kidding, guys. Lakerholics.com, just tons of great articles and in-depth reporting. These guys do a great job of breaking it down. But the comments, again, go for the comments. Go for the comments. Yes, just the witty repartee between these guys back and forth, and also everyone that they communicate with. It's a great community. It's Lakerholics.com. Be part of it today, Lakerholics.com. Also, remember our friends at Thrive Fantasy. Again, the code LFB, they'll match it dollar for dollar up to $50 with your first deposit of $20 or more. Please just download today on the App Store or go to ThriveFantasy.com. And enter the code LFB on your first deposit to play daily fantasy sports and player props right there at Thrive Fantasy. And don't forget, we're doing a free fantasy basketball league. We're doing that and going ahead and drafting on Sunday. For more information, head on over to LakerHolics.com. It'll go ahead and kick you over into the ESPN free fantasy basketball league that we'll do live on the air on Sunday, 4 p.m. Pacific time. So please look out for that as well. We do appreciate everybody watching and listening. All right, guys, you can go ahead. Last shots on the Lakers exhibition season before we head on out. Anyone can start.
Undefeated LA Lakers, 4-0.
Nobody got hurt.
Yes. Sean?
Healthy and hopefully going in strong.
Mine is something different. Happy birthday, Sean. Wishing you all the best.
See, that was the best one.
There you go.
That was the mushiest one.
But anyways, I want to go ahead and thank so much everyone for listening and watching. Brothers Lakers
don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug.
Oh, get away from me in the middle of a pandemic. But I will tell you what, it's so great to everyone to go ahead.
Can we let him drink on the air? I don't know about that.
Oh my gosh, it's late. Let's cut this out now. Thanks so much for everybody for watching and listening to us here. And we'll see you Sunday, right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.